Ken Johnson, and I'm your host for Successful Inventing. Welcome to another episode. Today, this is part two of last week's episode, the title being Key Elements of a License Agreement. So let's get into it. Now, let's start by reviewing some of the things we talked about last week and pinpoint those key elements of a license agreement. One of the things we talked about was that you must determine first in your license agreement if you're going to retain the IP. Second, if you're going to assign or you're not going to retain the IP, you must assign it to the licensee. That's a key element of a license agreement if you're not going to retain the IP. Another key element is who is going to prosecute infringers. Typically, the licensee will do the prosecution, and they will ask for your assistance in identifying infringement. Another key element is recognizing that everything is negotiable. So when you go into an agreement, remember, everything is negotiable. Typically, a licensee will send you a draft, the first draft of the agreement, and then it's up to you and your attorney to look through it and determine what you like, what you don't, and what you don't like, you can usually negotiate it. The royalty is usually something that's negotiable as well, but typically every industry has a range. The royalty could be 4 to 6%, it could be 5 to 8%, whatever the range might be. It might be 1 to 3%. So typically every industry has a general range, and it's incumbent upon you to determine what that range is and then decide if you like the royalty offer submitted by your licensee or if you want to negotiate something different. Another thing to recognize is not all royalties are paid quarterly, which is typical. Sometimes royalties are paid in a lump sum, particularly when the IP is being sold outright. Usually your license agreement should have a guaranteed minimum annual payment or royalty. So you want to stipulate something like that in the agreement where you know every year you're going to get a minimum amount in terms of royalties. Now, this minimum must be paid regardless of whether or not sales have been achieved to merit that royalty. And if you are unfamiliar with this, review last week's episode and I talk in detail about guaranteed minimum annual royalties. And then finally, you want some type of annual escalator. If you're able to obtain a minimum royalty guarantee, you want an annual escalator so that every year, every 5 years, every 3 years, whatever you've negotiated, that minimum royalty amount will rise. It could rise by $5,000, $10,000, whatever number you and your licensee agree upon. But it's always usually a good idea to have some type of minimum annual royalty coupled with an annual escalator to that minimum so that you will continue to see your royalty base grow as the product sales grow. So let's get started with this week's discussion. That was the review of last week. Now let's talk about this week's discussion. Again, additional key elements to a license agreement. Now, typically a license agreement will have a term. This is the time limit that the agreement is in force. Now, it will vary by industry. Some industries will have a 5 or 10 year term. If you are licensing a patented product, the term of the agreement is typically the remaining time left on the patent. So if a patent is going to expire in 10 years, that's when the agreement usually expires. So you will have to determine what's best in your case, but just make certain that there is a term and that at some point either the license will expire or it will automatically renew. Now, when you have an automatic renewal, you always want to make sure that there is a base benchmark of annual royalties or sales so that you can be insured that you will continue to draw income. Even though the term of the agreement is renewing, it doesn't mean that they can stop being very active in trying to generate sales. You want to make sure that they every year they must meet a minimum. And if they don't meet those minimums, they either have to pay you a minimum royalty or the term of the agreement the agreement expires if they don't meet those minimums. Sublicensing, that's a big issue. So what a sublicense is when your licensee finds another company to be their licensee. An example of how that might look, I can use my own case. So for years, my licensee was a company called Fundex, and they in turn set up license agreements with companies all over the world. So those second license agreements were called sub-licenses. And why this is important to you is that you want to be able to monitor those secondary relationships. You want to know what is in that contract, that sub-license agreement, what the term is, and other information so that you can monitor it. You have no direct access to that sub-licensee because you don't have a relationship with them. It's your licensee that does. Yet you want some transparency into the nature of that relationship because it does affect you, because it involves your IP. So if your licensee is asking for the right to sublicense, make certain that there's levels of transparency into that sublicense relationship so that you can monitor, know what's happening, and make certain that you're being paid properly. Now, another thing to bear in mind is that many license agreements are exclusive or non-exclusive. You typically want a non-exclusive arrangement where possible. That may mean that you can have multiple licensees. So you may have a licensee in the United States, and a licensee in the UK, and a licensee in Asia. So you want the ability to have other licensees. So where possible, you want your license agreements to be non-exclusive. In most cases, though, a licensee wants an exclusive license, meaning that they have all rights, perhaps in the United States, North America, Europe, or the world, whatever it might be. Now, you have to determine if that makes sense for you. In a lot of cases, it's okay to have your licensee negotiate or have an exclusive license worldwide. That's okay, as provided, again, that they meet minimums and that you have a transparency into sub-licenses. Because typically what they will do, your licensee will get an exclusive arrangement with you, and then they will sublicense to other companies around the world where they don't have operations. And again, all that's okay as long as there's transparency and the royalty is determined on what you're going to be paid on sublicense deals and so forth. Another thing to be concerned about is product extensions. What this means is that oftentimes you will go to your licensee with a particular product you developed. And over the course of time, your licensee may develop extensions on that core product. So this means that you have now two products, the original product and some kind of extension. So the question is, who owns that extension, and what is the royalty you're going to be paid on that extension? All of it is negotiable, but make certain that your agreement addresses product extensions. Who owns it, and what happens in terms of royalties, and if the contract is terminated for some reason, who is going to own or walk away with that extension? So make sure that's something you negotiate. Another thing to be concerned about is patent and trademark maintenance. Patents and trademarks require maintenance in the form of fees, ongoing fees. Trademarks require registration fees every 10 years, at least in the U.S., and it's probably the same in Europe. But at any rate, there are usually fees. The timing may vary from region and country. Same thing with patents. There are ongoing fees. So the question is, who's going to pay those fees? Is it you or is it the licensee? This, too, must be determined and negotiated so that you know going in what's going to happen and who's going to pay for it. The same thing can be something you'll look at regarding brand control. Who controls that trademark? Is it you or is it the licensee? If you have a brand associated with a product, then can you exploit that brand without manufacturing or producing the product? Can you separate the two? These are questions that must be answered up front. Now, don't be upset if your licensee says they want control of the brand, meaning that you can't do anything utilizing that trademark. Now, that's okay if you have a very good licensee who's doing a good job in meeting all your minimums. However, if they're not exploiting that brand in various ways or don't intend to, you might negotiate something into your agreement that allows you to exploit it and either share royalties with them, share profits with them, or it could be exclusive to you. It's your decision, but it's something you want to negotiate up front. Who's going to control that brand? Now, finally, let's discuss dispute resolution. In your contract, there will be a method or protocol for litigate or settle disputes. Oftentimes, it may require arbitration, mediation, before there's any litigation through the court system. And again, there's no hard, fast rule what you should be doing regarding this. My point here is just make certain there's something in your agreement to address dispute resolution. How is it going to be handled? In what system? Is that going to be an arbitration system? Is it the court system? And then, probably most important, if your license is terminated for some reason, what exactly are you going to get back? Are you going to get back all the rights to the IP in terms of production and distribution? And that's assuming you haven't relinquished those rights. If you have relinquished those rights, how are you going to get those rights assigned back to you? These things must be determined in your agreement. And one other final thing about dispute resolution, you want to make certain that if there's any product that they have produced and perhaps sitting in a warehouse somewhere, do you have the right to get that product back for resale? Or after a dispute is settled one way or another, can they still distribute that product as a closeout or as the end of their inventory? This should be determined at the beginning. So again, these are key elements of a license agreement. There are probably a few other things that we haven't discussed, but for the most part, we hit the big ones, okay? There's one other thing I failed to mention, is audit right. You want to make certain that you have the right to audit their books, to make certain your royalty is appropriate, you're being paid the right amount. Now, again, most licensees will not be spooked by this request. In fact, their draft should address it. However, you want to make certain it's there and make certain that annually you have the right to do an audit, perform an audit. Now, if they constrain you saying you can only come in certain times of year and that sort of thing, that's not a bad thing because a lot of companies don't want their operations disrupted by you having auditors crawling all over the place. But again, the main focus here is making sure you have the right to do an audit, and usually you will be required to pay for that audit, which again, that's no problem. It's typical that your licensee will require that you pay for any audit. But what you may want to add to the agreement is, okay, you could say, look, I will pay for the audit. However, if the audit determines I have been underpaid by X percentage, and you decide and negotiate what that percentage is, it could be 5%, it could be 10%, whatever number the two parties agree upon. But if you have been underpaid by that given percentage, then the licensee must pay for the audit and, of course, pay you whatever the underpayment amount comes out to be with interest. Okay? So audit right is very, very critical, and I almost forgot to tell you about it, but make sure that you've incorporated in your agreement all of these things. So for a quick review of what we talked about today, is you want to make sure your agreement has some kind of term, that it terminates at some point and is renewable, provided the licensee has met certain hurdles that you've determined. And usually those hurdles are related to royalties or sales numbers or what have you. You want to also make sure that if they are allowed to sublicense, which again is negotiable, if they're allowed to sublicense, that you have some transparency into the activity of those sublicensees. It could be just, it could be as simple as you see their contract, so you know what the terms are. It could be exposure or transparency into the royalty that that sublicensee is paying your licensee. It could be a number of things. And one other thought about that, by the way, typically when your licensee engages a sublicensee, that sublicensee will pay a royalty to your licensee. And then your licensee will pay you a split of that royalty. Typically what I've seen is that that royalty split is 60-40 or 50-50. Okay, so make certain that your sublicensee is paying you a reasonable split of the royalty they receive. I'm sorry, I think I said that wrong. Let's go back. Make sure your licensee is paying you a reasonable split of the royalty paid to them by the sublicensee. Okay? And so that's why it's important for you to know what's going on. Again, your licensee may want an exclusive deal, or it could be non-exclusive. It's up to you, and you will determine this based on the strength of your licensee, their worldwide operations, and how effective they can be in distributing your product around the world. Product extensions, who owns it? If they create a second, third, fourth product from your core product, who owns that extension or those extensions? Particularly, this is important if the agreement terminates for some reason. Now, it's not unusual for the licensee to say, look, we own everything we created, but we'll pay you a royalty because it's based on your IP. And that's fine. But if the agreement terminates, do they still have the right to produce that sublicense? I'm sorry, that product extension? Typically, no. So all this is negotiable, but make sure going in you understand what the possibilities might be. Brand control is important. Who controls a brand? Usually your licensee will want to control it. However, if you are Disney, for instance, and you own the Frozen brand, then of course Disney is going to control that brand, and there's going to be a set term for that agreement. But if you are a startup inventor with a startup product, usually your licensee will want to control the brand. And again, that's no problem provided they meet benchmarks and hurdles. Audit right, critical. Make sure it's in there. Make sure you can go in annually. You will be required to pay for it, except if a discrepancy is determined and it's greater than X percentage, 5%, 10%, 15%, whatever. You determine through negotiation what that trigger amount is or percentage is, and if it's hit, they must pay you they must pay for the audit because the audit uncovered this large discrepancy. And then finally, a dispute resolution. How will you guys settle disputes? Will it be in the court system or will it be in some kind of arbitration system? And who pays for the legal fees? Typically, you'll see that if whoever loses is required to pay the legal fees of the winner. So don't be spooked if you see that. It's common, but it doesn't have to be. All of this is negotiable. So again, I hope you enjoyed listening today and you're able to learn some good things about licensing. There's probably 100 other things we could discuss about and we don't have time. I think we've touched upon many of the big key points of a license agreement. And I want to make sure that you understand that these things we've discussed should be in your agreement. They are usually not something that you will want to forego, because these elements we've discussed in this episode and the last are really critical and core to your agreement. So keep it in mind, if you get to the point of a license, you can always reach out to me on kenjohnsonspeaks.com. Send me an email, or you can also fill in the request box there for information or questions. I'll be happy to help you and help you walk through any license agreement that you may be looking at. I've done that many times with many inventors, and I'm happy to help. So go to kenjohnsonspeaks.com if you have questions, if you can review some information I have there. I think I have a couple of sample license agreements as well. So take a look at all that. And, of course, you can reach out to me here at Successful Inventing, and we can help you there. And we'll try to answer some questions on the air. Okay? Have a good evening. And again, this is Ken Johnson wishing you successful inventing.